The noise jolted me awake. I figured it was my alarm clock. I'd set it for 5:30 so I could get to the hospital to relieve my brother, who was spending the night with our gravely ill father. It took me several seconds to realize it was just 11:30 and the noise was the phone. Even then, I wasn't particularly worried. After all, I'd gotten lots of late-night calls, usually wrong numbers or pranks. Even when I heard my brother's voice, it still didn't dawn on me. But soon, I learned I wouldn't be celebrating any more Father's Days with my dad. I drove in silence to the hospital with my wife, replaying the one-sided conversation I'd had with him just hours before, turning the words over and over in my head, wondering if I'd said the right thing. They were the last words I spoke to my father. To be honest, even under the best circumstances, conversation with him didn't always come easily. Growing up, I didn't talk to him that much, not nearly as much as I talked to my mom. Part of that was because she stayed home with us while he worked, so she did most of the child rearing. He was a disciplinarian, and a good one at that. He never had to do much, just his presence kept us in line. But he was also just quiet by nature. When we did talk, our conversation centered mostly on superficial things, school, Purdue sports, or as I got older, on work, money, politics, or what my boys were up to. But if it was something personal, if I was having girlfriend problems or trying to figure out where my life was headed, for some reason I couldn't bring myself to talk to him about that. And he wouldn't ask, probably not wanting to pry into my affairs. My guess is that he was just doing what all dads do, interacting with his kids the way his father interacted with him. Dad was brought up in rural Missouri in the 1920s, raised by a father who saw taking care of the kids as women's work, and who never spared the rod for the youngest of his seven children. Now, despite Dad's reserved personality, at least we knew he always loved us. He wasn't so lucky. He told my mother that he didn't know his father loved him until the day he left for service in World War II, when his long hug and silent tears said it for him. 6 decades after that goodbye, I walked down the hall to his hospital room, anxiously trying to come up with those last words, the perfect words, the words that would say it all. His room was quiet when I entered, the silence broken only by a shallow breathing and the occasional beep and hiss of the life support machinery. He lay motionless. He hadn't spoken for quite some time, hadn't opened his eyes. I didn't know if he would hear me or understand me, or even if he'd know I was there. I sat down next to him. I grabbed his hand and held it, probably for the first time since I was 4 or 5, when his big hand would swallow up mine and make me feel that everything was okay. The toughest words came first, tripping clumsily out of my mouth, tangled and contorted, telling him that this would be the last time we'd talk, telling him in so many words, maybe for the first time, that he was dying. After that, though, somehow they came more easily, like they'd been percolating inside me for years, for decades, for a lifetime, just waiting for this moment to flow out. I said the things I wanted to say, that I had to say, the words that I hoped would say all that had been left unsaid, that would make up for all of the things I'd done or hadn't done, that would say what a good son should say to his dying father. Did he hear any of it? I don't know. A few times the corners of his mouth turned up almost imperceptibly. Was it a smile, a grimace, an involuntary reaction? I don't know. I'll never know. What I do know is that in the end, those words, heard or unheard, couldn't make up for a lifetime of holding back. I just hope that somehow he knew I was always trying to be the best son I could be, and to be the best father I could be, trying to raise my boys to be better men than we were, to be better fathers than we were, to give them the confidence and the grace and the wisdom to do the hard things, and to always have the words, however imperfect, to share with their children throughout their lifetimes.